This is 16-9, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16-9 has been online now for more than a decade, writing about the digital signage industry and filtering all the BS. Now 16-9 is also a podcast, a chance to talk to smart people doing interesting things in this business. You can listen to episodes online, grab it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to grab the RSS feed. 16-9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Phil Lenger of Show & Tell is a busy guy, but he slowed down long enough for a chat in his company's New York offices near Penn Station. He even offered a sip or two from one of the many, many bottles of seriously good bourbon he has stocked in the corner of Show & Tell's meeting space. But I behaved myself and so did he. That allowed us to have a reasonably coherent talk about the background of his company, which definitely leads with creative, but does a bunch more. Show & Tell has for years and years developed and pushed content to many of the giant LED displays around Times Square. His team also manages some of them, but the company is into a lot more than just spectacular ad displays and does work in places like retail. We had a good, frank talk about a lot of things, including the current state of much of what's called digital signage creative. We've known each other for a few years. Maybe that many people don't know what Show & Tell is all about, so let's kind of start there.
Sure.
What's the company all about? When did you get started and where are you at now?
Well, we're a digital signage company, which is a broad term, I know.
Yes.
a lot of people say they're in the digital signage industry. We started 25 years ago. This
really?
Is our 25th year of operation, and so we're real proud of that and have a great track record. We're a relatively small company, but we have some really big giant clients, and we get to do some really fun work. So it's more specifically what we do is we're a creative technology design company. We get involved in the consulting and the design work. Mm-hmm. That's sort of a primary service that we provide for folks who looking to strategize their digital signage investment. And then we're an execution company. We do both the technology, in some cases we'll install, but a lot of times we'll work with integrators to do larger installs. But we'll definitely engineer a solution. And then we're a service company, so managed services. So okay. We will operate the displays. And through all of that, a very, very heavy emphasis on the creative.
Yeah.
And so we are often seen as sort of a creative agency with awesome digital chops, with technical chops. So we first and foremost sell ourselves as and are seen as a creative agency. And a lot of times we'll get hired just for the creative part, and they'll have folks do execution.
Right.
And that's not a problem for us.
But it's a benefit on the other side if there is an integrator, because you can actually talk to the animals.
We
you
work know with a lot about. Of integrators, and you know, that's not a problem. We're not looking to be sold as integrators.
Right.
We don't want to compete with that. As a matter of fact, we have a heavy respect for what integrators mm-hmm. do, and don't try to replace that. That's its own, you know, business model, and that's not our business model. So, you know, we need friends, integrators.
So 25 years ago when you started, mm-hmm. what was going on? How did you get started?
Well, so my background is in broadcast and theater, and a lot of our principals are like that. So just old school, you know, broadcast guys who got together, and the sort of the natural evolution was we started to do a lot of, it's funny, we just had the presidential elections, and I was sitting there sort of reminiscing because I used to do all these bar charts and pie charts of exit polls and the graphics during the elections. And sort of my mark that I made was I started doing them with low-cost PCs, Macintoshes. And I was at NBC in 1986 and 88 during some election cycles where I was proving the concept of being able to do broadcast graphics with computers and use the computational parts of the computers for the presentation. Anyway, long story short, it was all about low-cost computers, getting video to the screen, mm-hmm. and the transmission, the generation, but also having it look really good,
yeah.
such that a broadcast network like NBC would be proud to put it on. They have very high standards, of course, so very high focus on that presentation of the graphics and keeping corporate standards and brand standards and all of that.
So what was the option otherwise? Was it like Silicon Graphics?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They would have a SGI with a couple of very highly paid technicians.
And $250,000 box.
And the same for labor and all the issues that went with that. So we created a whole department that was able to provide graphics, and out of that came event support. So we would do their upfront shows, we would do special projects and a lot of marketing and advertising things. Mm-hmm. So we were very entrenched early on in marketing, advertising, great imagery, a great, you know, brand standards, and then also working with advertising partners. So that was an exercise that we nailed early on. And then it was sort of a natural progression to, basically we were making pictures with computers that were great images. And then our first foray into digital signs, really, because at that point we'd evolved to be servicing both NBC and ABC and a couple of other networks, television networks. ABC said, we've got this big sign that we're gonna build in Times Square. And we know it's going to be run with computers, but other than that, we really don't know what we're going to do. And, you know, we were in the line of fire, and they said, well, it's going to be run by computers, it's going to be graphics, and, you know, we'll take that on. And so it sort of naturally fell to us to develop not only a digital signage platform mm-hmm. for this LED sign that was now going to be curved and have all sorts of viewing angle issues, but also it had to fit into a broadcast environment. So the challenge is very simply, very interesting to technical folks, was we couldn't just put a traditional, well, or even today's, by definition, today's traditional digital signage mm-hmm. Product in there, because very simply, they needed to let's have a weather map that animates in. But the director has to say 3, 2, 1 and cue the animation. Well, there's hardly a tool out there under the digital signage rule that will do those kinds of things. And so there's lots of broadcast tools, but there wasn't anything in the digital signage realm. So we had to build, in essentially we built a tool from scratch that did both those kinds of graphics and standard automated digital mm-hmm. graphics. So that was a lot of fun, and we learned a lot. We actually revved it twice. We a couple years later, we made a new version of the tool. Most elaborate digital, even to this day, digital signage funk spec that I've ever seen of what it had to do.
Yeah.
Be frame accurate, redundancies, and all of that kind of thing. But it was a broadcast tool more than it was a digital signage tool, of course. But from that, we learned so much. And then as other signs started to come on in Times Square, Toys R Us built theirs next door, and then on and on, M&M's came online, and a lot of these iconic digital signs, like large scale, mm-hmm. large format digital signs. And we really honed a craft and a service offering for folks wanting to run digital signage. And then it was sort of a natural progression for us to go from those to what we call network displays, which are smaller digital signage, but there's hundreds of them. So all in all, in our kit of parts, we have sort of a couple of verticals, the sort of the single spectaculars of LED signs and how those ought to run and sort of best mm-hmm. practices. And then also network displays and how those run. Mm. And you know, it all kind of comes down to great customer service, but a great eye for design,
right?
Which is important from an architect.
So a few blocks up from here in Times Square, if were I to walk through there, mm-hmm. started looking around, what boards would you guys be driving right
now?
Wow,
so we touch almost every board in Times Square in one way or another, whether it be content creation, mm-hmm. or operations, actual operations, or tech support. We touch a lot of the displays now. So, but our some of our main clients, the H&M sign in Times Square, which is a beautiful LED board, multiple boards on the corner of 42nd Street. We move up the street. Like I said, we have a long history with ABC. Toys R Us has just been closed down in Times Square. They gave up their lease, so they're tearing that block down. The Express board, which is one of the tallest boards in Times Square, and multiple is like 8 facets, and it's right in the middle of Times mm-hmm. Square, right across the street from American Eagle, and we use that all the time for New Year's Eve and live broadcasts mm-hmm. and special events and so forth. M&M's has been a long-standing client of ours. We had also had the newsstands, the digital newsstands, which are the bodegas that they sell magazines out of.
Okay.
That was a Samusa property, but they just recently got purchased by JCDecaux. So, but we built all of those for Samusa. And so, you know, those are the sort of the technical side, but we've created content for NASDAQ and Reuters and American Eagle and you know, all the big signs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it depends on what part of our practice you're wondering about, but we've got a lot of Times Square experience. But it's funny that you ask, is that's a, you know, a less than majority fraction of our business is Times Square in general.
Yeah.
We're really, like we talked about earlier, you know, supporting retailers and out-of-home agencies all over the world with either services or creative. Yeah.
And what would you be doing in retail?
So retail's a big part of our practice. We do a lot to support retailers and think about, you know, they're going through a lot of challenges right now, retail in general, with brick and mortar. Everybody's heard the stories of how Amazon's, you know, just killing the American retailer. And retailers are struggling to reinvent the practice of shopping, all the way from shopping malls. So we work with a lot of mall developers. We work a lot of, with individual brands to help them to be a part of their creative team to say, how do we reinvent shopping?
Right.
And what can digital signage do to help support retail shop, the retail experience? And so we do a lot, we feel like that the answer to that in part is this overused word of experience and making it fun and unique to go, how do you get folks to really be social again in a physical way? It's like the new social is kind of getting them to meet face to face, you know, and talk and interact with one another, and letting digital signage and all of digital, sort of this collective digital, be a catalyst for that activity.
Right.
So we have a big role in experimenting, doing research and development, and, you know, and brainstorming on how can we help enhance that experience.
Mm-hmm. And in retail, what have you seen or what have you done that you think has done particularly well? Because when I go around and look at retail, I see a lot of stuff that disappoints the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I don't run into that much stuff that I think is, okay, they really got it.
Yeah. I think you raise a very good point and a key point. And since we're among, you know, 100,000 of our closest friends here with your audience, I'll be candid that I really don't think we have very many gold standard projects to point to say we need to do it like they did it.
Yeah.
There's little slivers here and there, but as we all know, we can't just put in technology for technology's sake. That's not going to really...
Which is what's happened.
Right, exactly. And even the technology we do put in there, we need to be mindful about how we use it. And a lot of that comes down to design. Mm-hmm. We're in a very immature phase of digital in retail, where 90% of it is... let's throw a screen in there and sort of an afterthought of what we put on there, and it'll be exciting because it's motion graphics. We're kind of starting to get beyond that. The buyers and the store planners are getting a bit more mature to know that it's not a just do anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think some of the slivers, the glimmers that I've seen, and I hate to overuse Apple as a as somebody who gets it, but I love what they're doing with their digital displays. If you, I've actually posted a link on. I was just in Dubai, and now they're rolling them out in the States
here. The Mall of the Emirates one.
Yeah. But they have these giant, beautiful displays. One, they've just totally blown the budget on, you know, like 1 or 2 millimeter displays, but the content they've got on there is this hard to even explain it. It's just a it's almost screen savory.
I call it tech porn.
Yeah,
it's just this slow,
but slow moving, and it's organic feeling, and it totally. If you think about what it does, it's in the environment when you're standing there. It does not say, "Hey, everybody, watch this video."
Yeah.
It supports the design and the architecture of the store, which is, I believe, what the job of the digital is meant to do. It's to support something else that's going on. It's not to be the star of the show. Mm-hmm. The star of the show is the iPod or the iPhone or the watch. That's the star, and we got to do everything we can to get everybody to kind of get excited, but then to go and look at the product. And in our early tests with even Toys R Us, we did a lot of in-store kiosks and playing games and stuff like that. And you know, the bottom line was, you know what, hey, I'm doing a great job. I'm getting 20 people to line up at this kiosk, but I'm distracting them from shopping.
Yeah.
And so we pulled it, you know, and those was, those are things that we learn in sort of a mature use of technology, that it's a subtle thing, and there's a lot of cliches that are true, you know, content is king, blah, 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 technology for technology's sake, but there's a real meaning to that that a lot of folks and brands just don't get on a solid level. So back to your question, I haven't seen what I would consider just a slam dunk, this is the right way to do it, which to me says there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Sure.
Somebody will. Somebody's going to come up with that, you know, the next Pokemon of retail and nail it. And that's what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of it has to do with, you know, it's got to be the right brand. It's got to be the right price point. It's got to be the right message. There's so many subtleties that it's not just a formulaic thing. I don't think it'll ever be a formulaic right. thing.
So it's not black and white that this is the way to do it. Because, I mean,
no.
what Apple's doing, I agree, is it looks amazing.
Works for them.
Yeah. But for a fast fashion retailer like H&M
wrong.
Or something.
No, yeah. And in many cases, we'll have clients that you know, will brainstorm ideas, and the right answer is maybe not a digital screen. Maybe it's just some disco lights, you know, and louder music, you know. Mm-hmm. So digital signage is not necessarily going to be the right answer for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's as cheap as it is, it's still expensive, and it's expensive to maintain, and for a retailer that's counting pennies, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 69 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now back to the podcast.
Do you guys dabble in interactive at all?
Oh, absolutely. We're doing lots, and that's part of what we do. We do a lot of development, especially these days, you know, social integrations, a lot of people asking about that, and we're doing some experimental things with in-store sort of ambient word cloud kind of stuff. We're working with a brand. I can give you a story in a couple of weeks. but yeah, so we're doing some fun interactive stuff as it supports the retail to sort of let users serendipitously learn about the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then enhance the value of what the brand's trying to do. So those are kind of interesting areas for us. We've done a number of interactive campaigns, one-offs kind of in Times Square to support events and so forth. And we've got a new app. I don't know if you've seen that, which is if you're visiting New York, a little quick commercial, it's free app, download iOS and Android, a digital design tour. So if you want to come into New York and you want to see the best of the best for digital, it's a GPS enabled beacons, and you walk around anywhere in New York and it'll tell you like where the closest digital installation is.
Really?
And it's a beautiful reference tool.
I would have used that 2 days ago.
Yeah, we just rolled it out 2 weeks ago.
Thanks for telling me.
Well, we've been trying to tweet about it and send out press releases, but it's a free app.
Yeah.
It includes, it's not just our projects, it's across all brands. We reached out to manufacturers and said, tell us what you're proud of, and we've included all this. There's a lot of tech specs, what resolution is this screen, and because we have a lot of clients that come and need sort of a cheat sheet. They're interested in buying some LEDs or some technology, and they need to, Times Square is the best showroom in the world to browse, and if they want to see what, you know, one manufacturer's versus another manufacturer's look like, they can use our app and say, oh, that's Barco, that's Daktronix, that's...
And what drove the decision to do that?
Well, we needed it. We've had a lot of clients, you know, we've always maintained kind of our own cheat sheet. So we have clients all the time coming, hey, show us around. Show us around Times Square. We're interested. We need to learn. Half of our business is educating the client. And so we've always been sitting on this sort of database of great stuff, and we said, well, wouldn't it be easy if we could just, you know, maybe there's somebody we that just doesn't want to meet with us or whatever, and we can just download the app and you can take the tour. I don't know. I'm happy to walk with people and have the tour as a companion, but it's a great tool, and it's just the beginning. It's a 1.0, but it's got some fun stuff in there for events. We can put little treasure beacons in there so that if they're on the tour, it pops up, hey, you want a free coffee and that sort of stuff. And we did that for Digital Signage Week a couple of weeks ago. But it's something that now that we've developed it, we can do other cities and put it in there. And I think it's something the industry needs. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no store for digital signage.
No.
You know, and the more we can help as an industry kind of market and sell ourselves, or at least educate people, and here's the criteria, the better off we'll all be. And
what have you guys learned through the years when it comes to creative as to what really works versus what doesn't? Because there's some obvious things like too much information on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a bunch of other
things. Oh, yeah. There's sort of the basics of you know, how, what's your dwell time, and how, you know, just the sort of those obvious things of, well, how long is the guy going to stand there, and does he have enough time to read it? And, you know, those things that are sort of, again, those 101, if you take 2 minutes to think about it, most people will understand these are important, you know, steps to take. And there's all that. There's certain colors that work and typefaces that work. And those are all what I would consider basic design principles of whether you're in print design, whether you're an architecture designer or an interior designer. You know, someone on your team, for certain clients, design is important. Mm-hmm. And somebody's got to sit there and look at it from your audience's point of view and say, if this is the first time you're looking at this, you know, most of them are no-brainer issues. Most of those kinds of things. And that's why I call it the sort of the 101 of design stuff. And then if there's sort of the patience or the tolerance of the client to go beyond that, then it's the fun stuff of, well, what could I do that's clever, that's eye-catching, that's not going to be what they've seen? And so, for example, and there's no rules to those. Mm-hmm. That is, you have to just, every single situation is going to be different. So there's no right answer to that. There's no wrong answer to that. It's just what's going to work, what am I feeling at the time, what emotion am I trying to evoke out of the time. So, for example, when we did the M&M store in Times Square, we did this exercise of, let's stand here before the sign was built. Let's stand here and sort of look around, what's happening in the space. Well, there's a candy store right across the street. There's Hershey's, you know, so we can't just be about the candy all the time. So much stimulus and noise, and how do you compete with all this? So what could we do that's clever, that's different? And so, you know, we kind of said, what if it's sort of this negative space, this white space, this sort of vacuum of space? And in the end, we came up with these big faces of the M&M's characters. And if you walk through Times Square, it's almost striking and disarming just to have this big blue or red face just looking back.
Yeah.
And it's not a 10-second spot. It's like a 30-second, you know, which is forever in Times Square time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so striking because it's not moving and cutting and swooshing, and it's just a face.
Yeah.
And it's so, there's something so basic about that that gets you to sit and look at that. And it's one of the, in our studies, one pieces of content that people remember after they leave Times Square, and you were to ask people what graphics or do you remember, it's all cacophony. They remember the M&M's faces. Mm-hmm. Well, one, it's a very iconic brand. But two, we could have cluttered that screen up with lots of stuff, but the simplicity. So in Times Square, the answer to your question is simplicity. We did the same thing with Chase when their board first went up.
Yeah.
And they have this big curved on the corner of 42nd Street. And we just picked beautiful imagery, stills, did a little bit of a Ken Burns effect on it, but it was like this sort of quiet moment that sort of evoked their brand. Of course, very, very different than M&M's, but the point was it was not overly flashy and movie,
right.
And you know, the opposite technique could very well be just as effective. If I were to do strobe lights at you and then put my brand image up there, are you going to be attracted to that? You know? So there's no rule to creatively what works, because there's so many criteria.
Yeah.
You know, mostly environmental criteria. That's the key.
Is it its own design specialty, or is it just common sense?
You're familiar with the group SEGD,
yes.
Which is a design org group.
Yeah.
And we're very heavily involved in that group. And one of the things that I like about the group is it's interior designers, it's architectural landscape designers, it's store designers, anybody who designs physical spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great group, because what we're asking is, are there some commonalities to all of our jobs of designing physical spaces that we can talk about and learn from?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're asking. And so the job is to first understand, what are human beings doing in this space?
Mm-hmm.
And then, how can I help that? And that sounds like a really simple thing, but it's not. You can really distract from that. We all know when we feel good about being in a space and we don't feel good about, you know, one of the things we're most conscious of is the color temperature of lighting. You know, we go into a grocery store now these days and we're seeing all these warm, you know, halogen lights on the produce, and it gives us this feeling of luxury almost. But, you know, 5 years ago it was just fluorescent lights all over a grocery store. It wasn't something that a lot of people thought about, but now we know that I can sell that produce for more money because it's got this warm halogen light on it.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kinds of things we're learning. So, you know, those are disciplines that all come together and that I like kind of understanding. I think that was your question
is it especially? Yeah.
So there's no exclusive from a design standpoint. I think anybody who's conscious or understands the principles of what it means to be in a public space and support that. So specifically to answer your question, I know architects who totally get this, who totally understand, you know, they might not know what Scala or Sedna or Omnivex, but they certainly understand the nuance of design, of what needs to happen on that digital display as it pertains to this space, because they've been thinking about this for years and years. And interior designers just get it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say I would go to them for your next digital design job, but the one thing that I think brands who care miss on is just spend some money on designers, spend some money on creative people.
Yeah.
And so that's, I guess, so it could be a lot of different places it comes from.
Mm.
Yeah.
That to me has been the biggest failure in this business to date, has really been the technology-led projects. And like you, I'm terribly tired of the phrase content is king.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, you've got to be thinking about the creative before you even start to think about what the display canvas is.
Yeah. And that's, I think we need to stop using that phrase, content is king, because are folks who get it and we don't need to say it.
Yeah.
And if I need to say it to you, you'll never understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost this sort of futility that I feel now. It's, you know, there are some digital signage conferences that all they want to talk about is what's the next new tech.
Mm-hmm.
As if that's going to be the thing that's going to make us all rich and make the industry succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the next new tech is paying a designer. and that's going to make the next home run.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be with tech that's 4 years old.
Sure.
You know, because that's going to be more robust than anything you're going to talk about that comes out next week, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced it too, where you walk into an environment and there's been a lot of money invested in big-ass video walls and everything else. And you look at it and wonder why, and then you see this other 22-inch screen in portrait mode that's just got a simple message on it, and you realize that's the best damn thing in here,
right?
Because they thought about what to say on it.
Exactly,
as opposed
right.
to all the razzle dazzle.
Right, exactly. It's funny, but the end users are getting more mature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's useful to us all when we have a more mature end user, and it's hopeful. You know,
is it a surprise to you that, again, drafting out this whole content is king thing, how few pure play or even partial play creative shops there are in this industry. And it's good news for you.
Yeah, partial play, I'm not sure that I know that term.
I kind of made it up.
Okay, all right.
Companies that are sort of in it, but they do other things.
Oh, yeah, too. That's a double-edged sword. You're asking, you know, I'm a little jaded in that. Of course I want to get all the digital signage business. We see a lot of folks who are web designers, mm-hmm. or mobile designers who also get the job of figuring out what's going to go on this sign. And I would say what I say to these, this isn't rocket surgery.
Yeah.
What we're doing, there's no secret sauce to it. But a certain amount of experience helps, a certain amount of just dedication to understanding these physical spaces. Mm-hmm. And that's usually something that most mobile folks don't understand, and most even web folks don't understand. They never have to consider the lighting or the temperature in the room or the ambient sound of where the user is.
Yeah.
None of that. And all of that needs to be considered. Mm-hmm. We often say our job is a lot like theater design. We're designing a theater where a play is going to take place, and there's a proscenium, and there's lighting, and there's curtains, and all this stuff, and that all has to be considered, not just the thing that's on the stage.
Yeah.
And so that's part of working together with physical designers to understand how does it all work together. So yeah, there are folks who could get that and do that. You know, that's sort of like you said at the top. You know, there's sort of this knee jerk to want a one stop shop. Mm-hmm. Everything in an environment, and that's dangerous. You get what you pay for. You get generalists, mm-hmm. who are, you know, generally okay. I guess that's always a problem, you know.
It strikes me as if you're going to work with a creative shop in this space, it's great to have those great designers who are design focused and everything else, and really think about the medium and the emotions and everything else.
Yeah.
But what you're telling me is you also need some technical chops to understand.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I see all kinds of LED boards out there that are using all white backgrounds and they look like shit.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand what happens.
Right, exactly right. And it goes on and on. We get concepts given to us by well-meaning creative folks at brands and say, we want to do this, and they don't really understand, you know, how does the message get there, or what's the user experience going to be, and that's our job. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we have a good enough relationship with them to kind of kunk them on the head and say, you silly goose, it's not going to be like that, you know, you wouldn't stand there and be patient for that thing, and they were like, okay, you know, that's why you got to really hope or develop a relationship of trust of that, you know. And sometimes that means undercutting your services, you know. Like we had one yesterday where we were sitting there and they wanted, you know, $100,000 worth of interactive development. And we talked them out of it, mm-hmm. you know, and ouch. But it was like, that you're going to hate us if we build this thing for you.
Yeah.
And I think they respect it. I don't know if we'll convert that to some other project, but yeah, you got to be careful of somebody who knows a little bit about tech. Mm-hmm. A little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing for sure.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and that you learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 169, that's 16-9.net every day. 169 the blog and now the podcast are both properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.